My name is Alexandra Diamond, and I'm a ninth grader at Bowood Annis High School. This summer, I had a great opportunity to go to MIX, a junior high program put on by CIY. The theme of the week was, "And Then." We talked about how Simon Peter could not catch a fish, and then Jesus showed up and changed his world forever. Each day, we went to at least two sessions with speakers and a praise band. Also, we played games that built teamwork skills and had free time to swim. We had group time where a small group of us got together and went deeper into what we learned at the session. I really enjoyed small group time because it was with my friends and we were all happy to be there and learn how God is in control of our lives and how it helps us to move forward even though we struggle, just like in the story of Simon Peter. Also, we were encouraged to participate in kingdom work. Another point at MIX was the isolation of Christians in Ireland. CIY is trying to get events going in Ireland for Christians. So our youth group decided to do a project to support this effort by doing a bake sale today. For me personally, the 4 days spent at MIX inspired me to continue my walk with Jesus and continue to do kingdom work. The lessons learned at MIX helped me evaluate a situation I was going through and to help me to value the relationship I have with God. 3 days after coming home from MIX, I left for Camp Christian to be a junior camp counselor with Miss Connie's group. There I saw young kids praising God and eager to learn about God. It made me feel really good to see them worshiping and praising. I was happy that they enjoyed the music I chose for them to sing. It made me feel like I was doing the kingdom work that God called me to do. I had an exciting summer helping with Vacation Bible School, going to MIX, and Camp Christian that helped me grow as a Christian. I would like to thank First Church of Christ and its leaders for giving me and the other youth these opportunities.
Imagine falling off of a roof, falling two stories down to what may be death, broken bones, or just a few nicks and scratches. Falling two stories down directly onto concrete, not knowing how you will land. That image came to me May 30th as I was doing exactly that. I was at a friend's house and we decided to go over the balcony and onto the roof. Little did I know that one decision would alter my entire summer, let alone my entire life. As I was in the hospital, numerous doctors, nurses, and visitors expressed that I was saved by God. Only God alone could have raised me up and allowed me to live after such a traumatic event. During the fall, I broke my tailbone, ankle, wrist, and my back. It is truly a miracle I'm alive. I was only inches away from hitting my head and possibly becoming paralyzed. My dad said God held my right hand and placed me down on the concrete. God blessed me with miracles of healing and friends and family. Now, it may be surprising that I'm thanking God for this experience, but it has positively changed me. After my initial pity party of asking God, why me, I began to discover that I could handle it. Throughout all of this, I had to have a great support group. Each day, someone would come over to visit me. Whether they brought over food, wheeled me around, or just sat and talked to me, I truly enjoyed their presence. Someone was always with me to make sure I kept my spirits high. Whenever I was capable of going to church, many of you had welcomed me with open arms and made sure that I was prayed for. I thank each and every one of you who prayed for me to lean on God. My youth family has been especially wonderful. Tanya was able to accommodate my needs as we traveled 6 hours to Maryland for our Christ in Youth conference. When we arrived, members of our church took turns wheeling me around when my ankle could no longer support me. Throughout the week, they not only supported me physically, but emotionally. During some evening sessions, I began to cry because I was jealous of the relationship others had with God. But after talking it out with Angela, Tanya, and Emily, later that night, I realized that not everyone had a relationship like that. They let me know that the longing in my heart was enough. A relationship seeking God is still a relationship. When we got back, I still doubted whether or not God heard my prayers if I did not pray a certain way. Next Sunday, Alex talked about prayer. He showed us that there are tons of ways to pray. Talking to God can simply be that, a free-form prayer. Other times we pray scripture. It's all a matter of preference. Although faced with countless injuries, someone always has it worse. It may be hard to believe at first, but there are people in my life who are struggling more than I. My one friend's mom just recently died. Her father experienced brain hemorrhaging years ago and is still in a nursing home, unable to speak. And her sister had to put her life on hold to take care of her father and skip college due to financial reasons. Another one of my friends has a loving and caring mother who's been diagnosed with a disease and is unable to work, and her father who has left them without support. Whenever I was capable of leaving my bed, I began to reach out to my friends and those around me to bless them. Falling off of a roof, May 30th, 2017, will be a day I never forget. This experience affected my summer and will continue to affect my life. If not for this incident, I may not have spoken to my leaders about my faith in God and my relationship through prayer. I may not have realized how difficult it may be for those struggling and how wonderful it is to have someone to talk to. I may not be standing up here today talking about God's work in my life if I have not fallen off a roof. I do not suggest falling off of a roof, but I do suggest you reevaluate your life and reach out to friends, family, and even strangers and help them with their battles. Thank you.
Good morning. This summer, we've been going through the Summer in the Psalms series, and we're almost done. But today, we're going to encounter Psalm 29. Would you read it with me? Honor the Lord, you heavenly beings. Honor the Lord for his glory and strength. Honor the Lord for the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord echoes above the sea. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty sea. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord splits the mighty cedars. The Lord shatters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon's mountains skip like a calf. He makes Mount Hermon leap like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with bolts of lightning. The voice of the Lord makes the barren wilderness quake. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists mighty oaks and strips the forests bare. In his temple, everyone shouts glory. The Lord rules over the floodwaters. The Lord reigns as the king forever. The Lord gives his people strength. The Lord blesses them with peace. I occasionally have been called a loud person from a loud family. My wife and I play this game, especially in the car. There's a good chance some of you do this too, where I will turn the volume up, and she, like 2 seconds later, will turn it a bit down, and then I'll wait, and then I'll inch it up, and then she'll take it 3 notches down, and then I'll wait for like a really good part, and then I'll notch it up like 5. And it's this constant battle. I just appreciate the nuance of excessively loud music. I'll like sit in my office and I'll just blast like really loud music. Like when I was working on this sermon, it was blasting like at a volume that probably the entire office could hear, but John and Arlene haven't complained to me yet. So I like loud things a lot, and I myself operate at just a loud volume, which I don't even realize most of the time. But I could never imagine having a voice that when I speak would literally strike lightning bolts. I could never imagine having a voice that would literally make the ground quake. We all read this passage together, and it was really cool to hear, at least from my perspective, the echo and this sense of everyone coming together and reading Psalm 29. But we could all sit here and we could scream at the top of our lungs, and we would never, ever, with all of our human effort, reach a point where our voice could flash like lightning, or our voice could make the wilderness shake. When you read Psalm 29, this theme of the voice of the Lord comes up a lot. But if I were to summarize Psalm 29 in one simple statement, I would just say this. Psalm 29 says that we are to give God all honor and all glory and all praise, for he is worthy of every ounce that we could possibly give him. You see, Psalm 29 is structured, I consider it to be, kind of three parts. The first is just the intro, and it just says, honor the Lord your God. Or in a lot of other translations, it will say, ascribe to the Lord glory, or ascribe to the Lord honor. And then the rest of the psalm is simply stating reasons why we should praise God, or why we should give God honor and glory. And it's because of his might and power and majesty. It's because of what he's done and what he's doing. You see, this theme of declaring what God does, it's why we come to church. We come together as one body and as one family to unite and declare what God has done. That's what we do when we read the word of the Lord. That's what we do when we preach. That's what we do when we take communion, because when we take communion, we in that instance as one body declare what Christ has done on the cross. We gather every week to tell the same story over and over and over again. But why shouldn't we? It's a big story. God's done a lot of things. I mean, this God is so powerful. He's the creator of everything in existence. He created the heavens and the earth, and he did so just with his voice. He spoke everything into being. Let there be light, and there was light. His voice crafted this earth, formed every mountain and every valley, formed the oceans and the rivers. His voice crafted every fish and every bird and every animal that walks along this earth. And with his voice, he crafted us out of the dust and breathed into us a breath of life. It's by his voice that he is positioned as creator of all things. It's amazing. I love to read Genesis 1, and I picture it almost as this orchestra. If you've ever been to an orchestral concert, you know how at the beginning there'll be this time where they all tune their instruments, and it sounds really chaotic in a way. When I read Genesis 1, I picture this orchestra coming together, and they're in this process of tuning all of their instruments, and it sounds like a complete mess. And then this conductor comes along and organizes them all. And they come together, and they eventually, once the conductor has put them all in the right place and their instruments are tuned, they play this beautiful and majestic piece of art. I often think of creation in that lens, because you have God come, and just simply with his voice, he puts together what we call this world, what we call you and I. It's amazing. It's awe-inspiring. But his power doesn't stop there, because time and time and time again, God proves that he's in complete control over his creation. Because this is the God who brought a flood that covered the entire earth simply at his command. This is the God who revealed himself to Moses as a burning bush. This supernatural, amazing event in Moses' life where he audibly heard God. And it's also the God who brought all of these plagues to Egypt when his people were being oppressed and in need. Plague after plague after plague. God brought hail and boils and darkness and locusts and frogs to swarm all of Egypt. This is the God who split the Red Sea so that the Israelites could walk through on dry land. And then when the Egyptians tried to chase them, the Red Sea crashed in on them. This is the God who guided the Israelites through the wilderness as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. I just imagine that, to see this tower of fire. It's the only light aside from the stars. And even then, the stars pale in comparison. This is the God who approached Job as a mighty storm. And this is the God who brought fire down from the heavens onto Elijah's altar. When you read the Old Testament, you see God do all of these amazing, miraculous things. He absolutely is in control over all of creation. But then we get to the New Testament, and we see Jesus, this Jesus of Nazareth. What does he do? You see, when we read the Gospels, our high schoolers have been going through the Gospel of Mark for most of the summer, and we just finished. When you read Mark, you see instance after instance after instance of Jesus performing these miracles. It's by Jesus' voice that the blind are given their sight back. It's by Jesus' voice that the deaf are given their hearing back. You see, Jesus used his voice to command the lame to get up and walk. And Jesus used his voice to command legions of demons to leave their prisoners. It was Jesus who walked on water, and it was Jesus who fed 5,000 people with just a couple loaves of bread and a couple fish. Oh, and then the next week did it a second time with 4,000 people. It was Jesus who, with his voice, could calm a mighty storm just by telling it to stop. Have you ever been in an instant where you knew something bad was happening and you audibly shouted out, like, no, 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 stop, stop? Maybe you're a parent of a toddler and you just saw that toddler reaching for something they shouldn't reach for and you couldn't stop it despite your best efforts of yelling, stop, 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 no. They couldn't stop. But this Jesus, he can just command a storm to instantly cease just by telling it to be calm. Who is he? And it was this Jesus who, with his voice, commanded even the dead to come back to life. All he did was say, wake up, and they got up. I don't know of any other person in history that could claim a degree of power or might that Jesus could. And when we read these events, when we read what God has done, it brings us to a place of awe. But it gets even better. Because I think that probably the most potent act of Jesus' voice is when Jesus is on the cross and in his last breath utters, "It is finished." You see, in that moment, simply by uttering the words, "It is finished," Jesus declares a death sentence over death itself. In that instance of declaring, "It is finished," Jesus took our sin and buried it in the ground with his dead body. In that act of saying, "It is finished," Jesus proclaimed that we can be saved and have redemption and restoration in him. Not only us, but all of creation would be redeemed and restored in him. It's the most potent statement a person has ever made. It is finished. Evil has lost. brokenness is over. And it might sound confusing because of the world we live in. Because if you look around, it's actually really easy to see brokenness. And sometimes things seem really unfair and seem evil. But see, that's the thing. We come here every week, and when we take communion, we declare it is finished. When we take communion, we as one body make a statement that we believe that this Jesus is God in the flesh, that he has taken all of our sin, that he is in control, and that he is Lord over all of creation. And that's how Psalm 29 closes. Psalm 29 closes with the statement that our God is the ruler and king over all that there is. It says this, "The Lord rules over the floodwaters. The Lord reigns as king forever. And in his kingship, he gives his people strength, and he blesses them with peace." This is why we come. This is why we gather. To remember what our God has done, what he is doing, and to praise him for it. I urge you to never stop remembering, because sometimes it can be really easy to forget. When you read the Old Testament, you'll see that the Israelites' chief sin was forgetfulness. Time and time and time again, God said, "Do not forget me." And the Israelites forgot. They abandoned their God. They rejected him. They worshiped idols. And God would save his people, and they would forget him. And he would save his people, and they would forget him. Over and over and over again. We often think sometimes that God, if you just show up, if you do this miracle, if you show up in some real way, then it'll be so easy for me to trust you. It'll be so easy for me to follow after you. It'll be so easy to never forget you. But obviously that wasn't the case for the Israelites, because they forgot time and time and time again. So we gather every week. We gather to sing praises, to read God's word, and to take communion so that we will remember what God has done. And when we remember what God has done, we are put in a place of awe. We are put in a place where we can't focus on anything other than him, because he is worthy of all honor, all glory, and all praise. See, I pray that is what I'm teaching my students. I pray that's what I'm showing them. Simply who God is, what he has done, and how when you look at what God has done, you are put in a place of awe. But I pray that's what you are showing them too. Because we have a duty and responsibility as Christians to constantly declare the lordship of Christ. And that starts in-house. That starts with our own families. That starts with our own church. We encourage each other and help each other remember. And I pray that's what parents teach their children. And I pray that's what siblings show each other. And I pray that's what friends tell each other about. It's our mission. The life of the Christian is very simple. The life of the Christian is to simply know what God has done and to follow him because of it, to praise him because of it. That's what we do. So I urge you to never stop remembering. Be in awe of our God. Remember what he has done. Remember his might and his power. Remember that he is in control, that he is Lord over all of creation. So let us praise him for it. Would you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you for this moment in our week where we can come. And as one body and as one family, we can worship you. I pray that you would bless us and guide us, that we would follow after you with all of our being, that each of us would simply be a humble servant of you, and that we would be willing to just give every aspect of our life over to you because we know that you are in control. Help us to constantly remember you every morning and every night and to never stop praising you. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.